I think we're 6:30.
Okay, I'm
going to
call the public works meeting to order. Roll call.
She just went to check on something.
Aaron Carroll.
Here.
Doug Stock.
Here.
Brian Thomas.
Here.
Laura Belsky is excused. And Tim Stocker is excused. And
John O'Day.
O'Day.
John O'Day, yeah. John O'Day. Okay, and then I'll enter tomorrow. Approval minutes of a previous meeting. We want to motion to approve. There's a second.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes pass. Just a couple of quick announcements. Next month's meeting will be at the Pringle Nature Preserve. So, if you have any questions on that, it's at Bristol Woods, but we can also provide the map if anybody needs it. Well, not, but if you need it, we can get to you. Secondly, we have Tyler Magna from Youth and Governance here. First meeting of his gig experience, so thank you for making it. And I just want to bring up that Citizens Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. And when we get to that portion, I will start the clock here. Any other supervisors have any questions? Tyler, anything you want to add? Okay. Moving on to Citizens Comments. Citizens Comments, again, we have 3 minutes to speak. And we have a microphone up here that Wendy is going to present. What you'll need to do is give your name, address for the record, and you're ready to go. I'll start the timer.
David Beth, 765 248th Avenue. I'm not exactly sure that this is the right time, but I know that first thing on the agenda is for the ban on firearms, explosives, other weapons in Kenosha County. I didn't forward it to you, all of you yet, but Supervisor Decker forwarded me an email from the State Legislation Corporation Council, and it was with regard to carrying the CCW on government property. And I know I'm not supposed to have a discussion with you, so I won't, but I'm going to pretend that you didn't get some of the statutes that were there. Obviously, CCW, the license, it does allow you permission to go do some things, but some of the questions that I had brought up was, does it allow you in all the different buildings? And I made a copy for you guys too, but some of the places you can't carry a weapon into are a police station, a sheriff's department, a jail, house of correction, secured correctional facility, and any portion of a building that is county, state, or federal, or part of the courthouse. And so those places you can't carry a weapon into. And actually, even in Racine, they don't allow any weapons in their courthouse. Even the deputies who are guarding the door, they don't even have weapons as you go into the building. And if you don't know, the district attorney's office has a tunnel that goes directly from the district attorney's office directly over to the courthouse, which when I asked the Corporation Counsel for the state, would that include, because it's connected to the courthouse, with that included, she goes, I don't have that answer for you. So, and then part of the other thing for you to consider is statute 948-605. It's a gun-free school zone. If you have a CCW license, you can, it's 1,000 feet within school grounds, you can be within that 1,000 feet of school grounds. Can't go to the school, I don't think. I didn't worry about that part. But you can be in the within 1,000 feet if you have a CCW license. And I believe that campus is within 1,000 feet. So you can't open carry and you can't carry a gun concealed if you don't have a license. So those are just some things to consider when you're discussing the first thing on your agenda. And I do have the emails, I do have the legislation, the emails from the state legislature, Peggy Hurley from the state. So I just want to bring up those up as you discuss tonight, the places that you, by state statute, that you can't allow weapons into. You may have already been kind of briefed on these different areas that you can't, and to consider. I know that other people ask me to bring up other places too, but those are the ones that I think state statute might throw a wrench in the part of it. So just and open for you if you, not that you want me to talk during the discussion, but if you do, I'm here and I do have copies of those statutes.
Okay, thank you, Chairman.
Okay.
Any other citizen comments? Please
yeah.
State your name and address.
Hi, my name is Ellen Roberta, and what else do you need? My address, 7824 Fifth Avenue, Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I was listening to Sheriff Beth talk about the places where guns are banned, and I found it ironic because those people have guns in police stations, and courthouses, you know, are amongst the places that ban guns. They're looking to the city of Kenosha as an example of a place that doesn't have a ban on guns because they apparently were advised by their insurance company that they would have more liability if something were to go wrong and someone were to go into a building with a gun and wreak havoc. They have more liability if they had a ban than if they didn't have a ban. And to me, that's no logical reason to lift this ban that was instated in 2011 with a vote of 24 in favor of the ban and one dissenting vote, which was Aaron Decker. And now you're going to turn that all upside down. I surely hope that. To me, it makes no sense in this day and age with what we're experiencing as a country relative to how poorly we've been monitoring the people who are getting a hold of guns in this country. I guess I see this as a moral decision, not just a financial decision, and it appears to me that the city of Kenosha made a poor decision by not having a ban. In my opinion, the financial cost of deterring a bad actor from entering a building with a gun in the first place is a cost worth absorbing. It is for the protection of the people in the building, administration staff, elected officials, etc. I think there's no better deterrence than banning guns from entering the building in the first place. And I'm also curious, I'd like to ask what is the process of overturning this ban? What is it just going to be a vote that happens tonight, or what are the next steps in this?
Jenner wouldn't answer questions for citizens' comments, but to know the process, if it passes here, then it goes to the full board and it has to be approved by the full board. Okay? If it doesn't pass here, it doesn't get to the full board. Okay?
Anyways, and it also raises risk to our police and the sheriff's department getting guns.
using guns in our county public spaces, I think is an intimidation factor that would inhibit discourse in our public meetings such as this.
Thank you. Are there any more citizens' comments? Are there any more citizens' comments? Are there any more citizens' comments?
Can I add something?
I'm sorry, you had your 3 minutes, but thank you. Seeing no more citizens' comments, then the citizens' comments are closed. And we're going to move on to the first item, resolution. Which is a resolution to amend 2011 Resolution 63. What I'd like to do is get the author of the resolution to speak. Are you here?
Yeah.
You gotta get your mic, sir.
Yep. I'm sitting at the table, so I can hear me with the mic is here. Yes, I wrote this resolution, and Supervisor Stock and myself went over some concerns that he had based on contacts he got. So myself and Supervisor Stock worked on several amendments to the original resolution, and I felt that instead of making several different amendments and motions to change, I typed up a new resolution with the changes that Supervisor Stock requested and wrote, and also I changed after speaking to the DA. He requested, and after contacting Ledge Council at the state, discovered that the DA's building, even though it is connected by tunnels, they were unsure if the DA's building counts as being attached or being part of the courthouse. So for our sake, I changed the wording to add the Molinaro building and the pretrial building. Both of those are connected by tunnels. So again, unsure if they would be covered in the state statutes. Everything I did add, the courthouse, the public safety building, the jail, and the detention center, those are listed in state statutes already. But to clarify, as long as I was listing the pretrial building and the Molinaro building, I added those other ones just to make it easier to read. But the handout that I handed you incorporates all the changes that Supervisor Stock, which he can go over what he requested after, but I would ask the committee to make a motion to make a substitute amendment and substitute this resolution for the one that is in the agenda.
Is there a motion to substitute the resolution, updated resolution that we just handed with the one that is on the agenda? Moved by Zach Stock. Second.
I'll second.
Second by Aaron Carroll. Any discussion further?
To be in order, this would be, you would want to talk about substituting the amendment. So if you want to actually talk about the actual changes, I believe you should vote to approve, to accept the substitute amendment, and then you can discuss the amendment itself, because that's not approval, that's accepting the substitution.
Okay, thank you for that point. But as far as the distribution goes, you know, I've just received a copy of this, haven't had a chance to read through it or anything like that. What, has there been any other distribution of this substitute amendment?
No, just as this committee and Supervisor Stock can go over all of his changes with you. I don't want to miss anything that he advised to change.
Okay. So if we decide to move forward with the substitute amendment, then we would discuss the merits of the amendment.
Right. We would replace what's on the agenda with this resolution. Then we can discuss this resolution.
Does the resolution that's on the amendment essentially die then, or do we have to vote that?
No, since we can vote to substitute this for that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Seeing how the substitution motion has been moved and seconded, get a vote. Any questions? Go for it.
Sure. I guess a couple of the questions that I had in general were to what, and Supervisor Decker answered a couple of them, is to what has Corp Counsel reviewed this and provided any of their comments on it, and any other folks that would understand the legal issue behind this?
I did send it to Corp Counsel today, and he did review it. My main concern was the wording that I had written regarding not allowing guns in the courthouse, etc., that was worded correctly, and he said in his opinion it was. So that was my main concern, but he did review it this afternoon. And if you have questions about some of the other changes, Supervisor Stock can fill you in what the other changes were.
Okay. So I guess let's just review the changes and
can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Supervisor Decker, for putting this together. Like she had mentioned earlier, there were several changes I wanted to make to this resolution before voting on it, and this is just an easier format to do that. I've gotten a lot of emails from constituents about this. I've talked to a lot of people about this in particular. Seems to be a very important topic to people. I look back at the original resolution that we're amending, and the original resolution was enacted before concealed carry was even law yet. It seems it was the concealed carry law was due to go into effect in November. I believe this original resolution 63 was put in place in October. And so basically this original resolution 63 was passed just in response to the fact that the state was allowing concealed carry. The county moved to immediately ban any and all weapons except for law enforcement from all county property. So that was basically the premise and the action of the original resolution. To the resolution that's before us now, I've been getting a lot of comments from constituents. I've gotten several questions. The primary concern that people that have been contacting me is that they don't want more guns, or they don't want the presence of guns on county property. I've also talked to several people that are in my district and constituents that are concealed carry permit holders and are not happy with the fact that there is a ban on county property. So I am hearing from both sides. Some of the research that I've done, we contacted all of the, through Reggie, we sent an email out to all the counties, all those like 73 Wisconsin counties.
72.
And as a method of researching this, we emailed all the counties to see who else has, do all the counties in Wisconsin have this? Is it only some? I didn't get enough response back from all the counties to come back with a good a number. It was about of the 72 that we emailed, I think I heard back from 8 or 9, and several of them had similar resolutions that Kenosha County enacted that banned firearms from county buildings. I believe one or two did not. One of them was, it was only banned from long-term care facilities. Another county, it was banned, but you could request permission to carry from a judge, and if the judge granted it, then you would be allowed to carry. So some of the changes that were made, the other thing that I've been hearing about is in the original resolution, the financial aspect that was brought about. There was language in there that stated that our insurance costs would go up, or our insurance costs had gone up as a result of this resolution being put in place back in 2011, and then possibly the assumption that our costs would go down if this would be repealed. I contacted the Department of Finance, and they basically came back that there was nothing that's said that our that this original resolution caused our insurance costs to go up She couldn't find any of that. And then same as our race wouldn't change if we were to repeal this. So one of the changes that was made is that we removed that language stating that, you know, the two, I believe the original one, one of the original whereases, where did it go? What about the insurance?
Liability return to the board.
Yeah, so we did, so that was removed in this updated resolution. There was also some language that was changed regarding, I think that was the main one. I did research it. I couldn't find any evidence that if we were to, you know, pass this resolution that our insurance costs would change. So I did have that asked to have that removed. And then we also just changed the wording of some of the other whereases to make them a little bit more easier. Another thing that I asked to be added is currently, let me having research and talk to people, one of the main takeaways that I found in talking with people and discussing this is that by having this ban in place, the unintended consequence is when you have a concealed carry permit holder that visits a county building, they have their gun on them. It's most likely concealed on their person. And what that happens is I'm a permit holder, and as a law-abiding citizen, I have to do this every time I come up to a place of business that bans concealed carry or any firearms. As you walk to the building, you see the sign on the door, you have to turn around, you go back to your car, and you now have to unconceal your weapon in your car, and you have to store the weapon in your car, or, you know, and that's if you drove it. So the unintended consequences of this ban is it's causing law-abiding citizens that are concealing their weapons legally, because we do have the right to do that, to now be storing their weapons in their cars. The City of Kenosha Police Department has made multiple posts advising against the storing of weapons in cars because of car thefts, because of break-ins. And so one of the unintended consequences of having this type of ban in place, not just here, but at any other place of business, is that you are, you know, causing the weapon to be from being kept safely on somebody's person, concealed or otherwise, it's now just being stored in a vehicle and not, you know, it's unsupervised. And so there is, you know, an increased risk in that respect. There's some language that was added into this updated resolution to recognize that. And then the other point, you know, across the street from our county buildings, where, you know, a concealed carry permit holder is allowed to walk into a city admin building, and, you know, if they were to walk across the street to a county building, it's illegal for them to carry. So it does cause confusion. By voting to repeal this ban, especially with the changes that Supervisor Decker just mentioned in regards to the buildings that are still not allowed to be carried, I don't see where it would cause too much problem from that. Another thing that was changed that I'll mention is that the county courthouse is, from what I can tell, from what I found, is the only county building that actually enforces the policy. And so, because of the metal detectors, when you go into the courthouse, that's the only place that actually even enforces the ban. So, the only person that would not be carrying a gun into a county building currently is a law-abiding citizen. This ban that's here does nothing to stop somebody from illegally carrying a firearm into a county building. It does nothing to stop them because there are no checks and balances. There's nobody checking at the doors of this building or any other county building except for the courthouse. And so if we're going to have a ban in place and not have a way to enforce it, it really kind of defeats the purpose, in my opinion. And then I think that was the bulk. And then one of the resolutions further down, it would also ask the county to update their policies to not forbid county employees from legally carrying a firearm if they so choose. You know, a lot of people, and my initial thought as well was to the county employees that are downtown county buildings, but this would also apply to, from how I read it, this would also apply to county employees working public works or haul truck drivers. I'm in the business. I'm out plowing at 2 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, it's, you know, I want to make sure I'm taking steps to protect myself. And so this would afford county employees that wish to do so the opportunity to do that and not be violating county policy. And so that was one of the other changes that was made to the original resolution and is reflected in the one to be at further results as well. So that's kind of the overall, the changes that were made based on constituent feedback and my research and talking to people. You know, a lot of them expressed the concerns that I shared with the committee today. And so that's, if you guys have any questions, please let me know.
I just wanted to ask if, for the record, because what went out in the packets and what got publicly noticed was the original resolution. So the new resolution that you're talking about, you just walked through, there was a number of changes, but there's nothing on the record at this point. So could we just read it into the record so at least it can get recorded as to what the
kind of...
Good. I think that'll be helpful.
Supervisor Nordegan, would you...
Submit it in the record.
Sorry. Would you like me to read the exact changes that I made that Supervisor Stock asked me to make from the original? And then you can kind of go line by line and then read it into the record? Would that, or no, is that not needed?
I would just read the whole resolution.
Okay.
Unless there's any other questions right now.
Wait, no, my question was regarding...
It's got to be here.
My question was regarding just that, what Mr. Arvin's concern was, just that what are the changes so that we can document it and everybody understands, public and committee, what the changes were.
Let me continue commentary after questions and input.
Well, let's go through this, and then if there's some questions, I'll address those. Okay. Any other question before I read the new resolution, or the updated, resolution that's been substituted in for your old ones? Resolution to amend the 2011 resolution number 63, whereas the Wisconsin State Legislature signed by Governor Scott Walker enacted the 2011 Wisconsin Act 35 on July 8, 2011, a statute that allows most adults to lawfully carry a concealed firearm in Wisconsin after November 1, 2011, if they obtain a concealed carry license. And whereas on October 18, 2011, the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors passed 2011 Resolution 63 with a vote of 24 ayes and one nay, the one dissenting vote cast by Supervisor Aaron Becker. And whereas 2011 Resolution 63 enacted a policy that no firearms may be possessed by any person in a building owned, leased, or controlled by Kenosha County, except by a duly sworn government law enforcement officer and a person authorized by the state statute 175.60, paragraph 16b2. And whereas 2011 Wisconsin Act 35 grants employers that do not prohibit one or more employees from lawfully carrying a concealed weapon immunity from a liability arising from its decision. And whereas 2011 Resolution 63 banned the possession of lawfully carried weapons on county property, thereby causing Kenosha County to lose immunity from liability, risking taxpayer money if sued. And whereas the city of Kenosha did not ban the lawful carrying of a firearm on city property on advice of their insurance company. And whereas the city of Kenosha did not ban the lawful carrying of a firearm on city property, causing confusion to those lawfully carrying a concealed weapon due to the city and county buildings being in close proximity. And whereas banning the possession of a lawfully carried weapon forces a law-abiding individual to remove their weapon and store it off of their person in order to enter a county building. And whereas 2011 Wisconsin Act 35 specifically allows employees to store a weapon in their car regardless of whether or not the car is on county property. And whereas the city of Kenosha has repeatedly asked residents not to store firearms and vehicles due to car thefts and break-ins. And whereas with the exception of the Kenosha County Courthouse, the county has no method of enforcement in place to ensure that all persons on county property are in compliance with the firearm ban. Now therefore it be resolved, it is declared that possession of some concealed or openly displayed weapons in a Kenosha County buildings is a danger to the public and should be regulated. And be it further resolved, it shall be the policy of the Kenosha, of the County of Kenosha, that those illegal explosives, dangerous weapons, or other objects which are capable of inflicting death, bodily injury, or property may not be possessed by any person in any building owned, leased, or controlled by Kenosha County, except by a duly sworn government law enforcement officer. And be it further resolved, it shall be the policy of the County of Kenosha that those firearms, electronic weapons legally possessed and carried per Wisconsin state statutes are allowed in any building owned, leased, or controlled by Kenosha County, excluding the Kenosha County Courthouse, Public Safety Building, Jail, Detention Center, Pretrial Building, and Molinaro Building. And be it further resolved that Kenosha County update its employees' policy consistent with this resolution and remove restrictions on weapons legally possessed and carried from Wisconsin state statutes. And be it further resolved, the Kenosha County Executive shall cause removal of signs previously posted under 2011 Ordinance 63, and further, that procedures to be placed in effect when force is updated. And that was authored by Aaron Decker, Vice Mayor. Any further questions? Brian.
Seeing as the committee members have received a copy of this, is there any reason to see if there's anybody else that wants to have a copy of this before we vote on it, or
is everyone in the audience?
Yeah, I mean the public would have had a chance to review it. If I were sitting in the public and listening to you read it, it certainly reads fine. But I highlighted specifically the changes. Here, and it certainly seems to clarify, and it doesn't seem like there's anything that's contrary to what the previous amendment or the previous resolution said, but it still is different if there's any, concern from the public.
I don't think there's an issue with that, but one, unless we vote on it, that it becomes a document that's, kind of going forth to the common court.
Okay.
Does it still go to judiciary?
No, this goes to county board.
No, it does. It's going to come to judiciary.
No, I'm sorry, judiciary.
The approved version will go to judiciary.
Yes, that's right. Okay, thank you. I do have a couple specific questions about this, and seeing as Supervisor Decker is here. On the page two, or the back page of what I've got here, the now, therefore, be it resolved, there is, after Kenosha County buildings, is a danger to the public and should be regulated.
Go.
Is there supposed to be another word in there that?
I would say it should be to the public. Okay. And then I also noticed on the front of the page, the bottom whereas, it says whereas twice. So I guess if someone wants to make a friendly amendment or an amendment to edit, to correct those.
Yeah.
If you had something else.
And I do have something else as well. So then on the second page, the first be it further resolved reads, it shall be the policy of the County of Kenosha that those illegal explosives is, what is those reference to? It would have been referenced previous in the resolution, so I just,
any illegal weapons in any buildings allow concealed carry, which would be legal weapons, people legally allowed to carry legal weapons in every building except the Molinaro building, the courthouse, and those other ones listed. So it was just easier to pull it apart to make it less confusing as you read it.
Okay. Thank you. The other question I have, too, is going back to what Sheriff Bent brought up, is regarding the proximity to schools. That was a good point. Is there any part of the buildings that we're looking to change allow the firearms that are within the proximity of the schools?
The Ruther High School is within proximity of the admin building, but I did contact legislator Senator Wongard and State Representative Samantha Kirkman. Both of them did contact Legislative Council in Madison to get advice on that, an opinion. And each of them were contacted by separate people at Ledge Council, and both of them said we're allowed to conceal carry in a building within 100 or 1,000 feet of a school yard and or school property. And I did forward that to Sheriff Beth, and I believe and Supervisor Morgan also.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I believe the clarification on that was you could not actually carry it on or in at the school or on or in the school grounds.
Correct. That is still illegal use. For federal law, you cannot carry it on school property or in school property.
Other resolutions that are quick. To appoint Supervisor Belsky to the Kemper Board and Supervisor Pasha to the Pringle Board.
You could take them both up at once with a motion.
Yeah. Okay, so resolution for both the appointment of Laura Belsky to the Kemper Center Board and resolution to appoint Brian Pasha to the Pringle Nature Center Board. Second. Any discussion? Seeing none, take a vote. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, folks. All right. So there will be a change in how we move with the different divisions within Public Works. Public Works does a great job. Every one of those divisions has rather than going in and rehashing it, which we all should have read them, what we're going to do is we're going to change the process to that. I'll ask each one of them as we come up, as they come up, if there is anything new or anything more they'd like to add to their report. So, for instance, it looks like Matt's up first, and then I would ask Matt if there's anything more on his report. After there is or isn't, whatever Matt's finished, then we will just ask our own questions on anything in Matt's reports that we have on that way. We don't have to rehash anything. That was approved by Corp Counsel, so we can go that far. So, without further ado, Mr. Collins, is there anything more in your report that you would like to add?
I'll keep it simple, Mr. Chairman. For the Petrifying Springs Park Playground, just an update that earth moving sets to start the first couple weeks of June, so you will see activity within that site in early June, so that'll continue as the report says until fall of 22. Pringle Nature Center, I would just recommend for any committee members, if they haven't been out there, I think our next meeting should be out there, so it'll be a great time to see our AmeriCorps projects. So if you're a little bit early, be more than happy to walk around and see all the accomplishments over at that park. Seasonal recruitment, another update. We lost a couple of our recruited lifeguards. We're down to four, so we will not, as of right now, be actively lifeguarding Silver Lake Park just because we don't have enough to safely do it. They will be monitors, so we still plan on employing them just so we have a baseline of lifeguards, but we lost a couple more based on distance, gas, other jobs, internships. It's an extremely competitive market. Even on AM 620, as I'm driving around in the parks, that's the main topic with Milwaukee County, Racine. Everyone's unfortunate with lifeguards. It's the main topic, and it's tough to recruit. So just putting that out there, friends, family, we're still actively recruiting for that one. And then special events are special events, and that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, any us three, or even our youth and governance, have any questions? Or do you know anyone who's a lifeguard?
Or do you want to be a lifeguard?
Yeah. $200 hiring bonus.
please, Matt. Go ahead.
We have just one quick. Where are we advertising these positions?
So we're in person. We started actually in February for recruiting in person at Central High School, Wilmot High School. We've been there two separate weeks consecutively trying to recruit and actually do on-the-job interviews. We have done online as far as our social media posting, campaigns. These meetings we've had, we have billboards, like actual signs on county highways. If you've been at Petrifying Springs Park, we have a billboard, literally, that's 10 feet by 8 feet off of Green Bay Avenue with our jobs that we recruit. Next to Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park signage. So anywhere and everywhere we can put that out there, we do.
And what are we paying? What's the pay range?
I did bring that because I thought that'd be asked. For lifeguards, it's 12 to 16 an hour.
How about any place like Antioch, Burlington High Schools or anything like that? Try to spread north and south. I understand we're talking about Silver Lake and we're out kind of in the middle of this area.
Right, so the challenge is when you go too far away with some of those places. We even had one kid that was hired for Tremper and now they don't want to go because of gas prices, because their parents don't want to go. So even from Tremper to Silver Lake is becoming a challenge if you don't have that geographic area. We should make that part of the ad. Yeah. No doubt.
There's a safety course that's a prerequisite. Does the county pay for that?
Yep. We handhold through the whole entire process, not only with the interview, but we sign up with the YMCA. We have an agreement with them. We get them the specific dates. Hopefully it works with them. We have multiple days that you can take your certification courses. We pay up front so they don't have any monetary transaction whatsoever, so no upfront cost. And if they walk, they walk. We're still willing to take that gamble just to make it so then they don't feel that they have to spend too much, you know, without getting a paycheck per se. So we do all that plus a $200 hiring bonus. If they're there for 30 days, they get $200 extra on their first paycheck. So we're trying every incentive possible, but it's just been tough out there, especially with our lifeguard positions.
What's the demographic that you usually get for those? Is it college age?
high school and college. You can be up starting at 15 years of age and then go up from there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, any other questions for Matt?
No, I'm just, you know, a little more color on that. I can certainly, you know, my daughter is going to be 19. She's back from college, and she got, you know, a job with a retail restaurant kind of place. And, you know, that's the going wage is similar there, but, you know, tips kind of push it over the top, which makes the service industry more attractive because, you know, tips on top of that. But I'll certainly, you know, pass the word. Spread it around as best we can, but usually word of mouth works pretty good on that stuff too, but no guarantee.
Can we tip like
But I mean, what you're highlighting is a competitive environment.
Yeah.
But it's certainly the compensation seems to be in line with, you know, what you would expect for that age. So I think that's a good question as to why people might not be interested. What are the hours? What's the schedule?
So we manage our Silver Lake Beach, specifically with staffing, from Memorial Day through to Labor Day. It's a 7-day-a-week operation. Our lifeguards are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. that we would like to manage that beach and have that beachfront protected within the buoy line.
And is that just a single shift, or is that two shifts?
Single shift, and there's a lot of weekend work, and that's another thing, is that we're the busiest when people don't want to work these days, is more in the afternoon, evenings, and especially on weekends. So, with the hospitality market, too, that's a tough thing for kids, especially, to want to work those hours.
Okay, thank you.
How many lifeguards is a fully staffed?
15.
15. So that's the number you'll need in order to open, like officially open?
That would be the safe. We even tried to narrow the area that we would actively lifeguard, but we can't even do that with four as of right now because of the rotation.
Okay.
Based on Red Cross rules.
Got it.
So you only have four in?
Correct.
Okay.
And I hope they show up.
Come on.
Any other questions for Matt?
Thank you, Mr.
Scott. Now we're looking at Frank Martinelli, Facilities Division Projects. Frank, is there anything to add to your report?
Just a couple of points. For KCAP Molinaro security modifications, we just finished up all of the counters. We did them in two phases so they could keep serving the public. We just finished up all the counters, and the computers will be going back in on the second set of counters. So now we had measured the openings, and we're just waiting for the bullet resistant glass, which should be in by the end of August.
So I missed it on all the counters. They are open? Or?
Actually, tomorrow morning, they're moving the computers into the last ones. All the counters are physically done. We did them in two phases so they could always keep the public and serve the public.
Okay.
We only shut down roughly half of the counters. So they're all finished. Tomorrow morning, IT is actually moving the computers into the second phase counters, and all of the openings have been measured, and the bullet-resistant glass should be in by the end of August. The only other change really is Kemper water infiltration repairs 2022, which we were at Kemper on Wednesday. Is they've tasked us with evaluating the fourth floor windows where they're looking to put a museum of how the dorm rooms used to be for both the nuns and the students. So we're evaluating the windows on the fourth floor because there are some gaps around the windows. So we're going to thoroughly evaluate them inside and out with the architect. That's really the only update.
Anybody have any questions for Frank on facilities? I just did want to run off of what you talked about too, Frank, and thank you for being up there. So everyone knows, there's the Kemper Alumni Association. So it used to be an all-girls school that was run by the Episcopalian nuns. They want to put in about a $400,000 museum on the fourth floor. Problem with that is the fourth floor has got a lot of water damage, a lot of water still coming in. You tuck pointing, you got to get the windows secured and all that. And for this get the other side done. So that's the east side. We've got to get that other side done if we want this money to come in. We have to do it anyway. The building is a, it's on a landmark registry, is it not? So we've got to keep the building up. I mean, really, roofs and roads are what we're really focusing on this year, everything. But that's what we really need to be looking at. So we may need to move some money around for that west side. I think we've got an architect coming in to look at everything to see what needs to get done. So still hold on. We've got to see what's going on. But the other thing is the lease needs to be extended to the Kemper Center. They also need to include for the fourth floor the Kemper Alumni Association in that. So County Executive Kirkman will be reviewing the lease. There's like four leases that have been amended and all the way through. Have you seen those, Ray?
I think at one time I've seen
okay.
Them.
Because you're retiring soon, I'm not even going to bother showing them.
Okay.
But they're complex, and I think what we're going to try to do is simplify. I believe the county leases to the Kemper Center for $100 a year, I think is what it is. And there's 5 years left, and are trying to get like another 35, figuring that would be about the end of life of those who attended the school. Is it closed down at 75, 77, something like
that? Yeah, I was going to say the original lease was that started in like 77 or 78,
something like
that.
Yeah, so, the original ones did, yeah. So, anyway, thank you, Frank. It was nice seeing you up there going through everything. Okay, next, we have Clement. Clement, is there anything to your reports that you'd like to add or update?
No. And that's why I'm not wearing my glasses.
Does anyone have any questions for Clement on any of all the projects that he has going for us?
Clement, just a question. Last time we talked, you said you were having some challenges with the railroad or some other, you know, just wondered if you, or things are going smoothly on K and or any other areas, Highway S. You said that there was some somebody about
it,
so.
Yeah. So far, the challenges we're having is not with UP Railroad. CP Railroad is communicating. We just need to make sure we get them on a good time frame for them to complete the work, so that so that the project will be completed within this projected scheduled time. So for now, no issues with railroad, UP Railroad. But in the near future, we're going to see how it's going to go. I don't want to over elevate it, then find out that oh no, this is something that could have taken slowly. Yeah. Other than that, the usual challenge would just be managing the traffic, managing residents' expectations with the congestions at certain points along the detour route. And then we had a little bit of delay caused by the rain. But other than that, I think everything is in place for a good project to continue.
Okay. And then the other question I had, Mark, you had a question at the last county board meeting about the Easy and Russell Road roundabout. Is there, you got all your questions answered on that?
Yeah. Yeah, the question came out from Supervisor Gans was, do we have to buy those pieces, those two parcels? And yes, this all came out after the budget in 2022 came out. Illinois is still paying for the vast majority of everything. We don't have a price yet on those properties, but I believe we're still a year out before we would.
A couple of months.
We're hoping the IGA, we're hoping we'll have the IGA to bring to the committee in June or July.
Correct.
Right.
And that'll give us more information.
Right. And then, okay, so June or July.
And then we'd actually start right away acquisition, ideally, if not late this year, it'd probably be early next year.
Correct.
Illinois wants to start that?
Yep. They always want the right away well before the actual project takes right. place, because then there's usually utility relocation and stuff that takes place before okay. the actual construction.
Yeah, so we will be purchasing those parcels. Again, Pleasant Prairie is... listening to Supervisor Newhouse on that, she said it's a really bad intersection, and Pleasant Prairie is very interested in getting this roundabout put in for
just to add to this, also a second roundabout thing at 47 and Easy, that is the Pleasant Prairie Street. And Pleasant Prairie is doing exactly the same thing that we're doing.
Yeah, I just had a quick comments. I know I spoke with you a little bit earlier as well. Just an update on signage, just for the people that are looking to get to the local businesses that are currently cut off by the Highway K project. I visited there myself this morning. I had to drop my dog off to a daycare. I planned way ahead, so I knew where I was going. But just to make it easier for people that are trying to get down to those, like there's Enterprise down there, there's all those businesses that are currently cut off by K. And if you haven't been there in a while, it would be very confusing because you have to know, so when I'm driving westbound on 50, because in order for me to get down there in those businesses, I have to go westbound on 50, I got to get in a turn lane, turn around, and then there's two exits. So it's like, you know, unless you're planning, there's one exit that takes you, I think, to Lorenz Excavating, but you have to go to the second exit, which will take you to that business park. So it's still a little bit confusing to try to navigate that, and that when you're going westbound on 50, coming down from the bridge, it's really confusing. It's not really laid out that, I don't know if you guys can add lines or something, but that turn lane where you need to make that U-turn, it's like, it just looks like a gap in barrels, and when you're coming down at, you know, 45 miles an hour, it's something that can easily be missed, and I had to be paying attention just to make that turn. Lord knows how hard it is for other people to do that. So if we can just make it a little bit clear when, you know, where those turnaround points are, signage, anything to help just people make that, because it's like, you know, last thing you want is the last minute, oh crap, you know, I gotta turn here, and then, you know, we have an accident. So other than that, you know, I'm excited. It's looking great. I'm gonna be excited when it's done, because now that's all flat and I can see how wide the road's gonna be. Yes, but it's gonna take forever. So other than that, I just want to follow up with that, make sure that we're getting that signage and communicating with people. I believe I did see a map come through, I think it was from Ray, of all the active projects that are going on.
Oh, yeah.
Projects. That was pretty informative.
Oh, good.
I do like that. I'm hoping, or I'm not sure if we're going to be posting that or if we are posting that to the public. It is nice to be able to kind of see what's on deck for, you know, road closures. I like that. We can put that out there to more people so they can kind of get a bird's eye view of what's going on. So.
Yeah, so I've already put in word regarding the sign so that we can discuss it.
Sure.
But, you know, around the area where you want the sign, that is Highway 50 work zone. So I work with them. I have in communication with the project manager, and I work with him to make sure that we try to improve the signage. Yeah
something similar to like what something similar to like what Lorenz has. They just have their business logo. So I know if I'm trying to go to Lorenz, I can go this way. It doesn't have to be anything massive, just something that if I'm trying to get to this business park, this is the exit that I take, because right now it's just a 74th Street. You know, what's that?
Okay.
So thank you.
All right.
Just a quick question on that Highway K project. So the closure between County Highway H and then the Union Pacific Road, right? I ran across Tate Bogdala, and you know, he's upset. Nothing short about that.
He's apparently always upset.
He called for a meeting. Never told me about. He talked to me. Were you guys able to work through anything new? And this was Thursday when I talked to him.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what day, but we had a meeting with Tim McGuire, Senator Tim McGuire, the Commissioner of Railroad.
Yeah.
And they basically told him what I've been trying to tell him too. The railroad is not an easy establishment to deal with. So, but the wheels do turn, and sometimes if you go through the proper channels and work it out, especially with the people that are really on the ground, things can do, they can work. And so the idea was to get the railroad, in this case CP Railroad, to give a definite schedule and to try to make sure that the schedule fits within the project schedule so that they don't come and install it way after the project.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, they could do it in December or something.
Yeah, so I was happy he was in that meeting because he had it from the people, not from me, because for me he gets angry, but from them, yeah, so he got it from the people. So,
right.
And the challenges that we are facing, and then they came with an option that we should fill an application because on the railroad schedule, they have a completion date of December of 2022. That means they can complete it within any time before December. So what we are working behind the scene now is to change that date so that it falls within the project schedule so that the railroad would complete it on time. We are in that process of doing that. For the meantime, we have a good contact in the CP Railroad, and we are trying to work. They've already given us August, that they're planning to complete it by August, which will fit into our time schedule. But again, if they can complete it sooner, the better.
Yeah.
So we're still working behind the scene, and we're still following that channel of trying to change that date. Because if we do not change that date, and they can treat another project as a priority and tell us, oh, okay, well, our deadline is December. So you can't force me to complete it before then. So we are following it in two prongs, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, don't forget the third prong. That's
I could make some calls and find out if there's a better contact at CP, but I don't know the people directly.
Well, yeah. Well, no, CP is cooperating right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I understand on the UNQ intersection might be delayed because of Frontier, is that who it was?
Correct.
We're still in that.
Yeah. Frontier came, they were supposed to be on site today, and the contractor came at 3:30. What is happening is the Frontier, they're struggling to get a contractor, because Frontier doesn't do the work itself, right. The subcontractor work. And the first subcontractor just abandoned the work, and then they got another one, but this other one always having problems with trucks failing and truck doing that. So today the contractor was complaining that if they don't complete the work within the next 3 days, he wouldn't have anything to do, so which means he would have to pull out from the project. So tomorrow I'm meeting with them out in the field and try to see what options we have so that the contractor can stay working.
Yeah.
And then get the utility.
They're the last utility, right?
They're the only utility.
Only utility. That work was supposed to be done, but
2 years ago.
It's yeah. Frontier makes UP look like they're on it. So it's
okay. Any more questions for Bob? You're okay, Tyler? Thank you, Bob. All right, so now we are up to Matt Storino for Facilities Divisions Operations.
So I have, one update for the KKFE pump replacement project. With the equipment submittals being approved, that the release is the controls contractor to start working on their control submittal, so they get confirmation from the controls contractor.
It is the controls that are, so the equipment is being approved?
Right, so the...
You gotta speak up on that.
Sorry, the equipment gets approved, and then there's a separate controls contractor that actually installs the controls to work the HVAC. So that company has gotten that released, and they're working on that.
So in short, the project's moving forward?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Matt? No? All right. Well, you got up easy to do that. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
He did a good job of explaining things in his report.
Or we just don't know what we're looking at. Okay, Dan Driver, Golf Division. Dan?
Everything is written except right there, Lynx Irrigation Project. We have chosen irrigation design consultants. So So one, somebody to do the exact actual design work for the irrigation that is needed, and a contract has been extended to that person. We have not received it back yet. So,
so this is for the red light, the red irrigation?
Yeah, the last irrigation out there that really hasn't been touched yet.
You chose the company who was going to do the design
right
to quote that, right?
Yep.
For a quote, okay.
You expect them to follow. Do you expect them to follow through on
yes.
on doing?
We had a meeting, extensive meeting with them last week, and we all came to an agreement. So we're just waiting for the decision.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions? Anything more? Any more questions for Dan?
Yeah. Just for clarification. You're agreeing that they're going to design it, or are they agreeing to design and install the system?
Just design it.
Just design. So after this design, we still have to, or you guys still have to find a contractor. Would this same company be able to install it?
No.
Okay, so you would have to take those designs, put it out to bid.
Yes.
Kind of like an architect and a builder.
Yep. Okay. Just one.
Mr. Chairman.
Stop shop.
Go ahead, Supervisor Shop.
If I might, I do read all your reports and go through everything. As Gulf is a revenue generating activity within the county, I personally would like to see some information about where we are against budget. Are we meeting or exceeding? Are we attaining our revenue goals? Same thing with our projects. How are we performing against budget on them? Are we at above, behind? Are we on schedule, above, behind? So some type of performa to give a little bit more than the project's ongoing. I get the project's ongoing, Gulf is happening, but how are we performing against expectation? So, Mr. Chairman.
Should have said something you have for each of the different divisions.
Yes, every month.
Every month?
It'd be easy to include.
Is that what you're asking for? Easy enough to kick out?
We can figure out something that'll work, that'll give you a...
At least, maybe just up to, year-to-date right now, end of May, work for it.
Yeah, whether it's swim lane analysis or something, but something that gives us a perspective.
A context,
of
yeah,
where are we performing? Mm-hmm. Are we ahead of schedule, behind schedule? Are we above, below budget? Are we performing at our expectations? Or where are we? That way we do have the question, if we are not, why are we?
And I'll let Dan answer how we're doing golf, because I know how we're doing golf.
Right.
Oh, I'm always off.
It's tough with Elaine, that's for sure. We're busy, really busy when it's nice.
Yeah, when it's nice, it's packed.
Right.
It's, hopefully we're going to start getting some good weather. And all the golf courses are saying the same thing I'm talking to. So, yeah.
Into your question, I was actually at the county board new supervisor training this morning, and in one of the slides they actually listed, probably sounds like something you were looking for, like how many holes of golf have been played to date, or maybe something like that, as far as the kind of synopsis of where we're at so far this year
versus prior X number of years.
Yeah.
Something that gives us an understanding of how
one
we're
thing yeah one thing forward. I learned is that I'm in lawn care landscaping, and when we're suffering in a drought, you guys are making hoop and bucks, apparently. So.
Right, right.
I didn't realize that until this morning, so it's good enough.
Yeah, 18 and 19 were two of the wettest seasons on record, and then 20 and 21 were, two of the driest seasons on record, so a total different, performance from those.
Plus you got the COVID gone, too.
Yep. Close to COVID, yeah.
More people outdoing things.
Yep.
Well, that's what likes it. Plexiglass between the drivers.
Right.
Oh, right.
But no, I have heard that from the local courses as well, that they had basically the last 2 years have been banner years as far as golf playing rounds go, but as far as like food and beverage and things like that, they weren't quite as good. So it's kind of flip-flop from previous years, but it sounds like you're experiencing the same thing.
Right.
Questions? Dan?
What was the exact problem with the irrigation system on Brighton?
galvanic corrosion from all the different types of materials that they use. They use lead, they use brass, they use fanzite, they use the PVC back then, and it creates all this corrosion and runs through the pipes and it makes them fail. So the white birch is done, blue spruce is done, luckily patch was done later, and so we don't have that same situation at the Pine Springs, but the red nine is really bad. I mean, we're fixing it, and then it, in this section, and it breaks in this section, and then we fix that, and it breaks in this section. It just moves it right down the line. It needs help. It's very critical that it gets help ASAP.
And then just for additional information, what I know about irrigation systems that are modern, they're all plastic and there really is no corrosion and should last much longer than the older systems.
And what was the, I remember it was brought up in the last meeting, I don't have it for me, what was like the dollar amount per year that you were spending on just maintaining the system?
Materials is like $25,000 plus, probably.
Yeah, and that's just amazing.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Dan. And now, Ray's all on his own.
Yeah, just a couple.
He has no reports except what he's got to say.
Just a couple wrap-up comments, yeah. Yeah, as the weather continues to finally transition, we're starting to get more project-friendly conditions that allow us to ramp up everything that we've got, both operations as well as projects. The only thing I've got left to provide the committee with information-wise is the golf division, which I should have in the next day or so. And then I'm recommending that when we get together for the tours, that you guys have any questions as you see stuff, bring up anything, you know, that'll be a good opportunity. I mean, it's going to be fairly tight. Those are going to be pretty wham-bam kind of things, but you're going to get to see a lot of stuff that I think will fill in a lot of gaps for you. And any of that stuff, if you've got questions before then, just give us a call. You know, if it's something for golf, give Dan a call. Something general, give me a call. Whatever. But hopefully that stuff is giving you at least a pretty decent background on the context for a lot of these things that are happening and stuff that will be budgeted for going forward, that a lot of those studies and plans and stuff that have been developed over the past probably 10 years, it provides that context. And yeah, then the next, just a reminder, the next meeting, the June 27th meeting, will be at the Pringle Nature Center. And that is pretty much all I had for comments.
Dates, June 14th, I know, is when I'm going to be there.
Oh, 9th and the 14th.
Yeah, and I was just going to, you know, I know that the youth government is going to do a tour on June 29th, but Tyler, if you want, then we can extend it to you. I mean, they would be able to come on a more detailed public works tour.
Yeah, if you're out of school, I don't know if you'd be able, but I know the youth and governance tour is
29th,
is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's an all-day deal. I don't know if there'd be duplication on that or not.
They'll get a snapshot. They'll get a little snapshot because they'll come in by us. We do kind of a general Clement where one of the guys will take them down, show them the highway operation. They don't typically get to see out in golf and parks. So if you wanted to get a more detailed look at that kind of stuff, yeah, we could piggyback. If you're out of school already by the 9th or the 14th of June, then we could have you ride along. So just
Dan,
let me know, or let Wendy know.
Dan took me on a tour, my first year, to ask him one. So he wanted to see the course. At least right now. I didn't. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Bring it through me or through Wendy until July 1st. That's just through me to whoever race replacement's going to be.
I'm still waiting for me to give you a talk, too.
Yeah.
Ray, I just want to say thanks. Supervisor Bashaw said, we've been getting the information from you. Appreciate the follow-up on
good.
That. And I, you know, I think, you know, and I don't recall if we talked about it or asked for it or anything like that. Just, you know, forward-looking. If there's, you know, a lot of this stuff is kind of here's where we're at now and here's might be what we have in the near future. But, you know, trying to think more long-term, what are, you know, do you have capital plans that you've been thinking about or other like projects that are on the horizon that, you know, you think are
worthy and what's coming down the pipe, just so that we can kind of, maybe the other board members would echo it, but just to get a better picture of what do we have coming at us in the next 5 to 10 years.
So I think we can give you, because those plans, most of them in each of the divisions do kind of provide that, but they don't tell you where we're at in those things. And so you'll see that stuff that'll get proposed will be typically related to what those plans were, but it'll be like the next steps. And so that's the context that's missing. But that's, hopefully we can cover some of that when we go on a tour.
Right.
So you can see.
That's kind of what I was thinking about too, is that, you know, that gets a little more in depth and a little more time to talk about it. But, you know, I just still trying to digest everything. Some of the stuff is pretty quick, makes sense. Other is a little bit more long and, you know, good for, you know, helping you go to sleep at night. Like many of you folks in the Facility of Public Works, I'm in the civil construction business, so that stuff is actually intriguing.
You like it. It's fun.
Yeah. Kind of dig into the nuts and bolts of it, and would just like to kind of understand, you know, visionary, you know, where we're going with this and what's coming up.
One of the ones that I really take the time to go in a little deeper is the master facilities plan for the civic campus, because that's one that is going to, it's kind of a time bomb in that the courts have told us that, you know, statistically the data says we should have had another branch of court, you know, probably 7 years ago. But they're the ones that control that, because they pay for that. Not for the construction, but for the actual operation of that branch of court. So until they pull that trigger, nothing's going to happen. But that master facilities plan we laid out, that was one of the goals, was to address the issues in the civic campus and figure out where those next branches of court are going to go and how we can accommodate that and how that gets built out. And the human services campus was the other piece of that study. And that's where the new human services campus that's going to be created over at the Sun Plaza on 52nd Street, that's kind of the action associated with that plan that was developed. So dig into that one. On the road side of it, it's a little more, I'm going to say, yes.
Yeah. Before we get to the past the human services, that I did notice that there were several options for redoing the job center where it was at, but that has since been set aside, and, you know, here's the new facility. Do you have any layout or any plans for the new facility that you preliminarily put together?
Plans are in development right now. So I
you
think
basically have a square footage that you're going to use and you're working on.
Right,
layouts.
Right. The 30%. Level plans for that, I believe, are targeted for like July, end of July, August. And then the goal would be to have those plans done by our bid level documents by September, October. Basically, we put that plan together in 20, I think it was, so that we've got a go-to document when the state finally says, guess what, we're going to finally fund this thing. You guys are getting another branch of court in 2 years, because there's typically a two-year window that they'll give you. Then that is the trigger for us to, like, okay, this is the first. And if you look through it, the first phase to accommodate the first additional branch of court is, I'm going to say, fairly painless. It's not a major. It's more remodeling, where the second phase is when we get into the infill part of that space between the parking lot where the judges are now, in between Mullen Arrow and the courthouse. That's when that would get infilled. That's the second phase. So it's kind of laid out conceptually in there, I think, in a way that's definitely going to be workable when we need to do it.
So it's something that can potentially drop within the next 2 years as far as the ground getting it started.
Yeah. I would say it will find out probably on the court side of it. And actually, Becky or the chief judge would be one to ask that question, but I'm thinking within the next couple of years, because it's been on the recommendation from the state court system for at least 7 years, maybe longer, because our caseload and the demographics and everything associated with the community indicate that we should have another branch of court.
Well, and in fact, we are funding fourth branch on an interim basis now to help with the caseload. So.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
That's coming from the state. That money's coming from the state.
I thought it was ARPA.
Well, it's still coming from the state.
Okay.
For the next 2 years and trying to get the backlog done.
Ah, okay. So that's, yeah, then that's their relief valve, evidently, short of saying, get the whole thing set up, get the next branch in place. Interesting. I didn't know that.
And a reminder, Todd wasn't here at the last meeting. You can come as casual as you want. Especially when we're going to be out at Prickle next week or next month. Yes. Have you been to Prickle Nature Preserve before, the Bristol Woods?
No. Is that right next to Boundless Adventures?
Right next to Boundless Adventures, that's in there. So just come, and you were just, whatever you want.
You'll be outside.
You will be overdressed. I guess you're overdressed now. That's okay, however you want to dress tonight. But you're going to be much more relaxed. Okay. All right, anybody else? Everybody's good? Move for adjournment. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We are adjourned.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Thank you.